Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Another gorgeous day in paradise. Thank you for spending some time with us today. And Paul, you know, we have just been inundated with news these past few years. It is a, I guess, good and busy time to be a talk show host because there never seems to be a dearth of news or goings on or happenings in the world for us to talk about. So we're busy.
I'd be okay with less news, just one day, just where we struggle to find things to talk about. But yeah, it's been a fire hose of news. And yes, by definition, most news is bad news. And yet we try to balance it up. And some days we succeed, other days we fail miserably. But, you know, life is a roller coaster and we try to treat this show as such, right?
We do. And look, we are going to talk, of course, about the Supreme Court leak and what happens now. I just recorded an interview with David Schultz, professor of constitutional law at Hamline University. He literally wrote the book. Literally, the book is called Constitutional Precedent in U.S. Supreme Court Reasoning. It was just out last month. And you know what? It's funny, Paul, as you know, as a book author, Dave says to me, he goes, people can get it on Amazon. I go, Dave, I'm on Amazon. It's $117. He goes, okay, Whoa. That's the textbook. It's for libraries. He goes, tell everybody to wait for next year when it comes out in paperback. And I was like, gosh, you never hear an author telling somebody to wait to buy their book. But I said, yeah, $117 seems really harsh. And he said, that's the library price. That's what they make you do. He said, but everybody can get it next year. It's, you know, it's hardcore reading. It's called Constitutional Precedent in U.S. Supreme Court Reasoning. He's super smart. You will hear that interview at 5 o'clock. It was fascinating. Yeah. So stay tuned till 5 o'clock.
Looking forward to his perspective on this. I have a hunch we're going to be talking about this for some time to come, Jure. Mm-hmm. Just a hunch.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. But we also wanted to do some lighter news, despite we're going to talk with Joe Lindsley from Ukraine in just a few minutes. But there's also this great story about No Mo May, which, you know what? I really want to talk about mowing the lawn, because the news is heavy and the news is hard. And I want to talk about mowing the lawn. Paul, is this something that you... Do I mow the lawn? Have you met me? Have I ever mowed a lawn, ever? Come on. Yeah. Well, come on.
I'm asking for a friend.
I'm just not mowing the lawn. My dad did mow the lawn when we were growing up. My husband tells me he used to mow the lawn when he was younger, and now, no, we have a wonderful lawn maintenance guy called Tony who does an amazing job. He is a wizard with seed. So, no, I don't mow the lawn. Do you?
Wait. He's out of prison? Tony's out? Huh?
Tony's great. Tony's
Paul's so stalling. Good. I'm the only one here that mows my own grass. That's a fact.
I mow the lawn, too.
That's right. So, Dave,
no, you do not.
You do not. If anything, Lori does.
You like did it for a photo shoot with your electric lawnmower once.
That's harsh. That's harsh. Hey, I mow the lawn up at the cabin. We have a postage stamp lawn at
the
cabin.
Like I said, I rest my case.
You did it for the post. Well, that's right.
But here's the deal. So this No Mow May is to encourage people to let spring flowers grow in their lawns and basically let them bloom before mowing them, maybe late in May and in June. And if you do this, if you can, you know, keep your lawn from getting mowed in the month of May, that creates a habitat and forage for early season pollinators, including bees. And changing the way we mow can result in a tenfold increase in the amount of nectar available to bees and other pollinators. And, you know, bees now coming out of hibernation late, they're hungry, they're looking for stuff to chomp on. And so, you know, even letting the dandelions grow It's good for the overall habitat if you can delay mowing, at least, you know, by a few weeks.
So, David, are you excited to mow the lawn? Are you annoyed about this? Or are you like, okay, good, I don't have to mow for another month?
Oh, yeah. I'm all about, like, it's great that I don't have to mow. Because, look, mowing in itself is kind of a weird concept, that we plant something in our yard and then we, like, cultivate it so it looks good for our neighbors. It's kind of a weird thing. So in my yard, it's all about, like, what we can do in our yard. And I want to be able to play volleyball and play catch and play frisbee and have my kids run around. And if part of that is letting the dandelions grow so the bees are better and pollinate my apple tree and my raspberries, like, I am all on board. So, like, I'm doing it. I might go to the middle of June without mowing my grass just to see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah. But it's weird. You're right. It's a weird tradition. And where did this come from? The UK? I know that's where No Mow May came from, from England. But when did we all get together and say, hey, let's carpet the outdoors and let's agree, okay, yeah, green carpeting and everybody can take care of their carpeting.
Yeah. It's like, just, look, it's at me. I've got it, you know, us as society have enough money and water that we can just, you know, grow pointless grass outside.
So, well, you know,
and then keep
cutting outlawing
it. And then keep...
They're outlawing lawns right now in Las Vegas. They're ripping up lawns and telling people to do something else because they don't have the water. All right.
That's true. More lawn talk later because that's just good fun. Up next, Joe Lindsley is going to be joining us on the Facebook CCO stream, on the Twitter CCO stream, and on the air live from Lviv, Ukraine. Next. Welcome back, everyone. Jordana and Paul, and we are joined live from Lviv, Ukraine, by Joe Lindsley from Ukrainian Freedom News, LvivLab.com, where you can see his Telegraph channel, LvivLab, LvivLab.com, where you can see all of his reports. This is also on Facebook, streaming on Facebook CCO, streaming on Twitter CCO, and I am streaming it on my Instagram Live at Jordana Verde, so you can get a look at Joe's face, because we love seeing him. So, Joe, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. And Jordana, great to see you, Paul, you as well. And we should note today, with the help of the Ukrainian IT Army, this is a group of more than 77,000 IT volunteers that have been working to disrupt Russian communications and banking systems. We have a new website, UkrainianFreedomNews.com. We can access all of our channels, but thanks to the IT Army folks. And we just emerged from the second air raid alarm of the evening. There were usually, it's very rare to have two in such close proximity. And it was very calm here, although we did have in Mykolaiv, which is near the newly occupied territories in the southeast of the country, there were explosions. In the city of Dnipro, which is a major city on the Dnipro River in southern Ukraine, the center of the city was hit, according to the mayor. They hit a railway target, and there were explosions in Odessa. But obviously yesterday in Lviv, we were hit for the first time in a few weeks. I was in a cafe at the time with some foreign soldiers and some Ukrainians, and the lights flickered, and we everyone got quiet, and then we heard that awful sound repeated, I think, five times. And I stepped outside a few minutes later to see the smoke over the city. So that reality is hit home now again in Lviv. This obviously is also a target.
Hey, Joe, I think the Russian Federation, Putin on down, thought that they could just grind the Ukraine over time and just wear you down. Obviously, that has not happened. The question I have is, has there been sufficient, not only a renewal of arms coming in from the EU, from the United States, from all 30 NATO countries, but has there been sufficient food and gasoline to keep the wheels on the bus, to keep things going? In other words, do you have the equipment you need to continue as long as this takes to push the invaders out?
Well, I would say it's a great question, because we're working every day to work and we see this happening here in Lviv, to stabilize and improve those operations. Through our team as well, every day we work to make sure, you know, small, you know, units of 20 guys going to fight have the vest and the proper medical kits they need. That still is a bit of a struggle, but we're starting to see some openings there. You know, that we're getting the right supplies. And you know, for example, with the medical kits, we've got some horrible kits from China with tourniquets that don't work. They're useless. And so we're fixing that system. We got an emergency order, a request today for food to get to Kharkiv, for non-perishable food and MREs to get to Kharkiv, which is a city that's been suffering immensely. So we can find it, but it's always a scramble. And that's why yesterday's attack was disturbing, because Lviv is the supply, logistics hub. And unfortunately, fortunately, the air defense has protected Lviv so far, but the Russians continue to try to strike it. And this is, it does seem that's part of the strategy. Russia tried to take Ukraine in a blitzkrieg and that failed. And now they want to make it a slow grind, perhaps even sometimes slowing down enough. For example, in America, it seems that I took a little dip into the American media today, just curious what was going on. And I was shocked that the Johnny Depp Amber trial is dominating the news. And I think that these things make Russia very happy because they can continue to pound. And strangely, today, a Russian senior official said that now they're looking at the denazification of Sweden. So this could be going in directions we don't even imagine. And that's a very difficult thing about the situation.
Wow. See, it was never just Ukraine. The world needs to be listening. And Joe, please know that we have never forgotten about you, nor will we. We're not just covering Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. We are interested in your plight and the plight of the Ukrainian people. That's why we keep checking in with you. It's my understanding, you mentioned now Sweden becoming possibly an issue, that Putin said he was going to declare war in the coming days. Would that be any different? How would that change? What does that mean for the people of Ukraine?
I mean, obviously that sounds ridiculous to any sane person that hears it, because this has been a war, even though sometimes we see it called a conflict in some media. But Putin from the start has told the Russian people, and he controls a lot of the information they receive, that this is merely a special operation. If he were to declare war, it seems that he could actually truly mobilize the entire nation, the way that Ukraine has been sort of self-mobilized in self-defense. The Russians could be forcibly mobilized, and he could draw upon, the entire, whatever resources they have in the society. So, but again, anytime we hear any rhetoric, anything come from the Kremlin, I don't trust it one way or the other. I mean, so he said they're not going to declare war. I put no stock in anything they say. And I think it's meant to take us off our focus and off our course. But there is concern about this May 9th holiday. And it's very interesting. Boris Johnson said, I think he was trying to calm the situation. And he said, Putin, you can save face. You can just tell your people that you won and go home, because they believe your lies. But I think that was hard to hear that from the UK PM, because it sounded almost too desperate. Look at everything Russia said in the months leading up to the war, and we can see that none of that could be believed. And maybe we do have to actually believe the opposite of what they say.
Joe, I'm seeing reports of a Russian brain drain. 50,000 to 70,000 skilled tech workers have already fled Russia, apparently in opposition to the war. I mean, they can't speak out. There is no freedom of speech right now in Russia. There is no freedom of the press. There is only what the state wants you to know. So the only way they can protest is by leaving. There's some reports as many as 300,000 Russians have left since the beginning of the war, ostensibly in protest. Some may fear what might happen within Russia. But I'm just curious if you're seeing those effects, and is life still somewhat normal in Lviv? Are people going to work? Are kids going to school? Are people shopping? I mean, how much normalcy is there today in Lviv where you are?
I mean, even today, the day after the strike, I mean, I went for a run today, and I had a different feeling in my mind. I was thinking, okay, when I hear that alarm, where am I going to run to? That was the only difference in my mind. But as I was walking through the city today, there were kids walking the streets, unattended, which was normal before the war. Most of the schooling is online, and everything is sort of overwhelmed with the refugees here. So most people are going to online school. A lot of the Lviv children, their parents at the very beginning got them to Germany and Norway and other countries. But we have lots of refugee children here. Sunday, it was a beautiful sunny day. There was music everywhere in the streets. It was very incongruous. And a lot of us were talking, saying we feel something bad is coming. And sure enough, there was a strike the next day. But no one was killed in that strike. And I was talking with a friend today who's a Ukrainian who spent a year in a Russian prison. So he's seen that heart of darkness. And he said he's encouraged by the fact that even a day after the strike, people are walking around the city and going, sitting at the outdoor cafes, because it's a sign that, that their spirit is not broken and they're not afraid. And you never see anyone running to a shelter, even when the alarms go off. And that's, maybe that's the type of metal that you'll need for the long endurance of however long this might go on.
When this is over, and Joe, it will be over at some point, and Ukraine will prevail, we are going to come over and buy a series of beers for you at your favorite cafe to help you celebrate. We'll bring our spouses, we'll videotape it and record it for posterity. But
I greatly look forward to that day. And as Ukrainian, you would say, Za Peremoha, which means to victory. And yes, we will all be celebrating here, and it will be a glorious day. You know, today was a beautiful, the sun was shining. Sometimes when the sun is shining, the city feels a little bit like Paris. And it's a beautiful place and with an amazing culture. Sooner than we can imagine, I hope. And in a sense, we're all, I was realizing this when I was running a few days ago in the park. Sometimes having lived in New York, I get frustrated with the people around me. And then if people are in my way or something. And running through the park, I realized every single person that I saw in that park is, you know, people are walking quietly, is going through the same, has the same fears, the same uncertainty. And we really get the sense of empathy that we're all in it together. But then if you expand this a bit further, I mean, the whole world is in this together. We don't know where this is going. And we share this sort of common fear and uncertainty. And hopefully that helps us all be better people at the very least in these moments. But
yeah, you're right.
Well, Joe, we wish nothing more than a sense of normalcy for you. Your post this weekend of people in the streets with music. I encourage everybody to follow Joe on Instagram. That's where I follow him, JP Lindsley. And I know you got a haircut, so there's a little piece of normalcy for your life. But where can people help? You mentioned the new website. Is that still the place to go for people to donate and help?
Yeah, if you go to UkrainianFreedomNews.com, and there's so many organizations, great organizations working to help, and we're trying to piece that together and see who will be the most effective. Right now, we're posting every day small batch requests. So if people really want to feel connected and say, hey, I bought a pair of tactical boots, and we'll send you the picture of, you know, when, in fact, we have a shipment coming from Germany, hopefully tomorrow. Things got a bit delayed recently, but we want people to feel really connected to the Ukraine that they're supporting, because I think that will help, you know, keep this going for the long duration. But the human connection is very important here. And Ukrainians, like, we had some people on our team delivering items through the country. And at every checkpoint, soldiers would say, hey, can we buy some of this stuff? We need this stuff. And so there is there's a great need, but there's a great gratitude here. And as some friends were saying to me the other day, I think this is a common idea here. Ukrainians believe they are fighting the war that the world doesn't want to fight, and the world won't fight right now. And but it's a war that is somehow affecting everyone. And so all that support is appreciated. So yeah, UkrainianFreedomNews.com. We welcome any support, and thank you.
Absolutely. Joe Lindsley, keep it up. Keep pushing. Stay safe. Thank you for the update. God bless.
Yeah, and Paul, thank you, Jordana. Your fortitude inspires me as well. So thank you, and this see you all soon.
Thank
Absolutely.
You. Yeah, I tell Joe that we are both fighting our own battles, you know, obviously his on a global scale, but he's been so kind and so supportive. He and his family, his mother emails me about my leukemia. I feel like that's so back burner, you know, they're fighting a real war, but I'm fighting my own personal one, and they've been amazing. So I feel so humbled.
Yeah. He's great.
When we get back, MPD, good news about the Minneapolis Police Department. These police officers are doing some great work in the community, and we wanted to highlight that. Hear what they're doing with kids and bikes next.
It's been a bad couple of months, maybe years, for Minneapolis Police Department. And look, no one's been harder than them on me. I have been disappointed in what we have seen lately from the reports from the Minnesota Department of Civil Rights. But I always maintain this, that Not all cops can be painted with that broad brush. There are so many Minneapolis police officers who have helped me personally, who get up every day and do incredible work protecting and serving and doing right by the community. And when we are offered an opportunity to highlight that, Paul and I and David will jump on it 100%. And this is what we're doing now. Joining us is retired MPD officer Mike Kirchen with a program he wants to talk about. It is called MPD Bikes for Kids, doing great work for a long time in the community. And Mike, I'm so grateful that you reached out to me, that you're listening, and that we get to highlight this program. So thank you for joining us.
Jordana, you just took away everything that I was going to say. The way you highlighted the MPD and the good that's going on, that I was sitting here trying to think for the past 20 minutes, all right, this is what I want to touch on. And you just took it all away and you said it all, but thank you for saying what you did.
Well, don't worry. I got plenty of questions for you, my friend, and thank you for that. And yes, of course, that's all true, and I think everybody understands that as well. We have all been aided by great police officers, and we know that you guys, you know, the majority, of course, of police officers go into this to serve and protect, and you go to your job every day and put yourselves in harm's way for our benefit, and we are grateful for that, Mike. So thank you for what you have done. I know you're retired, but thank you for your service.
Yeah, for sure, and that's what I wanted to say. The rank and file from the top on down in MPD, there's men and women that are just phenomenal people that got into the job because they love to serve, and they love going in every day and putting the uniform on and just making the community safer and helping people, and a lot of them have weathered this storm that we're in, and they show up every day, and I still talk to many of my colleagues and I hear some great stories, and it's good to see that a lot of them are doing good. I mean, we lost a lot of officers, you know, since May and June of 2020. I mean, over 300. I was one of them. My wife and kids convinced me that, hey, I turned 55, Dad, why don't you retire? And so I did, and I found a great retirement job, and it's going great.
Good for you. Well, before we get into MPD Bikes for Kids, what are you doing in retirement, sir?
Yeah, so I found another great area to serve, and I'm at a senior living facility out in Anoka. And so I'm dealing with 60, 70, 80, 90-year-olds every day, and I'm serving them. And it's just like serving older kids. So when we did Bike Cops for Kids in Minneapolis, we went out every day, and we sought out the littlest community members, the good kids, the kids that never received any police attention. So we reached out to all the young kids. Now I'm just serving older kids out here in Anoka, and I absolutely love it.
Hey, Mike, congratulations on retirement. I hope it's as good as you were expecting. It has a nice ring. And Jor and I go back and forth. We've gone back and forth for the better part of 12 years, as long as I've known and worked with Jordana. I maintain that most people are good. I mean, we have, you know, good and bad. All human beings are good and bad, but I think most human beings and most MPD cops are good, and it's a shame that, you know, there's a small percentage that don't stand up to the same standards that MPD strives for. And so thank you for accentuating the good. And I wanted to ask you, how did Bike Cops for Kids get off the ground? What was the inspiration for that?
Yeah, thanks, Paul. So it was the brainchild of a couple school resource officers back in 2009. And historically, MPD would take all 16 school cops and toss them in squad cars for the summer, and they would answer 911 calls. Well, Mark Kluko, he's a lieutenant now, him and I wanted to figure out a way where we could stay on bikes all summer and connect with the kids in a positive way like we had just done for the 9 months of the school year. So Mark and I created Bike Cops for Kids. We knew that the department couldn't give us any funding, so we went to local attorney Mike Cerisi and Congressman Dean Phillips, and those guys were on board right away. They gave us enough money to really get this project up and going. And over the next 10 years, we made this project so, so successful that cops from around the country were reaching out to us trying to figure out how can we do that in our city. You know, so it was really neat to see something replicated that we started in other cities around the country.
Very
so
cool.
So talk to us about cool. how it works. Obviously, it surrounds bikes. Are you giving them out? Are you fixing them up? Who gets the bikes?
Yeah, so Jordana, a combination of all of it. You know, we went out each day. It's a simple thing of two cops jumping on a couple fat tire
bikes and heading out into a North Minneapolis community or the Phillips neighborhood with a burly full of bike helmets, thanks to Children's Hospital, and water bottles. And we would just connect with kids, and we would pull up into their yard. We'd meet them on their turf, in their front yard, in their park, and we would just start talking to them. Two uniformed cops just having fun with kids. We'd fit their little head with a bike helmet, and we'd say, guys, if we come around here again and we see you wearing this helmet, and you're on your scooter or your bike, you're going to get a free bike. So the first summer, we gave away about 60 brand-new bikes. You know, we bought a ton of bikes from Penn Cycle. Yeah, we bought a ton of bikes later on from Freewheel and Penn Cycle. And so we would give away a lot of bikes every summer.
And it's still going on, right? It's still going.
You know, no, so here's what happened. So Rondo had to make some tough decisions when we started losing a lot of police officers. And Rondo had to take a couple smaller units, Bike Cops for Kids, Community Engagement, Police Activities League, and they were kind of suspended for a while because he needed most of the cops back out into the precinct. Our number one job is to answer 911 calls, and we had to backfill a bunch of cops out into the precinct so those shifts wouldn't be too short. They're still short now, but they're doing the best that they can. So Bike Cops for Kids is temporarily suspended, but there's a new inspector in the third precinct. His name is Jose Gomez. He's Inspector Gomez. He goes by the name of Frank. He's trying to revive Bike Cops for Kids for some of his cops in the third precinct. Because it's fun for these cops to come in and do something fun, give away a couple bikes so that at the end of the day, at the end of the day, they drive home with a good taste in their mouth. And they say, you know what? We did something really fun today.
Absolutely.
Well, how can we help in that effort, you know, to get it back up and running? Because we love everything about this.
We need more
cops. I know that our two... Yeah, for sure. That's definitely it, Paul. For sure, they need a lot more cops. And I know that MPD is struggling to hire some now, but they're doing the best they can. You know, I know that Mike Cerisi and Dean Phillips, they would jump on again and they would fund the program. I think we just have to get more cops. We had two of us dedicated for the last 5 years doing it every single day up in North Minneapolis. And we were just connecting with kids. And then the adults saw what was happening when we were connecting with kids. And it was really a great way to strengthen the relationship between the cops in the community. It was really, really working, and it's got to come back.
Yeah, you really touched on something. If you can connect with the kids and have them understand that the cops are not the enemy, that this is somebody that can, you know, pull up in their driveway and give them a helmet or talk to them about riding a bike and see what they like, and that it is somebody that they can trust. That's where the community connection needs to happen when they're young. So the relationship goes both ways.
Yeah, and Jordan, I wanted to say that most cops, during the course of their work, they put on that uniform and they use that uniform for law enforcement purposes. They're going out there and they're going to homes or answering 911 calls. So what we did is Bike Cops for Kids, we had the same uniform on, but we used it for everything except law enforcement. We used it to show kids that they could trust that badge, that they could trust that Minneapolis police patch on our shoulder. And we used it for everything but law enforcement. And that was our way to get through to the kids in those high crime areas that, you can trust us. You may see some really hardcore police work going on up here and some chases and police with their guns out. You may see that, but here's us. You can trust this uniform, and we want you to be able to wave to the police. We want you to trust this badge and this uniform.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hopefully we can get Bike Cops for Kids back at MPD. We'll do what we can to get the word out, and we'll reach out to Congressman Phillips' office as well, and Mike Cerisi. Thank you, retired MPD officer Mike Kirchen, Minneapolis Police Force. Thank you for serving and protecting for reaching out to kids, something we can all agree on, the magic of riding a bike. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. You bet. And Paul and Jordan, I just want to say, I'm going to stay in touch with you guys because we used to have Ron Ryer. Ron Ryer used to be on WCCO every week, ask a cop a question, and Ryer would be on with, like, Dave Lee. And I'm going to stay in touch with you, and hopefully we can kind of touch on some more stuff on a lot of the positive that's going on in MPD right now.
Okay.
I love that so much, Mike. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, you bet.
Thanks,
Mike. Mike Kirchen, everyone, retired MPD officer for Bikes for Kids. He's right. We need more of that.
We do. We do. And we need more Jordana. We're going to get an update on what Jordana is doing to raise money for lymphoma and leukemia next.
Shameless plug time. Shameless. I know it. No, you know why?
Nothing shameless about it.
I only have about 36 hours in my fundraiser for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. I'm pleased to say we're killing it. We're doing a great job raising money for leukemia and lymphoma, and I want to continue. And I'm so appreciative of everybody who donated. You can go to jordanagreen.com, jordanagreen.com, and you'll see on the upper right, it says Donate to Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Click that, and you can donate right there. I don't see a dime. It goes right to them. They'll give you the tax ID number, tax deductible. The money goes to research to help save lives. And if you donate, I will personally send you my challah recipe with the extra topping add-on. I've been sharing it because we've been raising a lot of money. JordanaGreen.com, donate. I'm sharing my challah recipe. I promise to email it to you directly.
Very cool. I donated. You
yes,
betcha. Thanks,
Jor. Thank you. The news is next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.